Are you ready? It's time. It's time to let go and use your voice. It's time to be real, and it's time to heal. I'm Tiff Carson, and this is Hard Beautiful Journey.
Hey friends, welcome to another episode of Hard Beautiful Journey. I have been MIA for a couple weeks, but for a good reason. To be very real, I couldn't even think about podcasting since the last episode came out. I've been grieving the loss of my beautiful friend Deb, who passed away on February 28th. She lost her battle with cancer, and it's just been a devastating loss for so many people. She was so loved. I was asked by her family to put together her memorial video, and I was so honored to do that for my friend. Receiving all of those pictures and video clips of Deb made me quite sad, but it was also healing in a way, just like it was when my brother passed away and I made his. I got to sit with the visual reminders of Deb and be grateful over and over and over again that she was part of my life and part of my family's life. I was scheduled to record this interview with my guest today on the day that Deb passed away. I'm so grateful I was able to reschedule with this beautiful soul because she is so incredible. And I can't wait for you to get to know my friend, Catherine Roscobar. Catherine is a certified personal trainer, fitness instructor, older adult specialist, and wellness coach practitioner. For more than a decade, she has shared her multifaceted wellness coaching with thousands of people through private coaching, freelance writing work, corporate workshops, keynote speeches, and luxury wellness retreats. She is amazing. And soon, you're going to understand why. Here is my interview with Catherine. Hey, Catherine, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. Thank you so much for being on my podcast today. So I ended last episode saying how lucky and grateful I am to meet and talk with so many incredible people over the last few years. And meeting you last year, beginning of last year around, was one of the highlights of my year. And I need to tell everybody why. Because as a lot of you know, the last two years have been one of the hardest years of my life, going through a divorce, losing my brother, and having to move. You were part of all of those moments. And Catherine had something that was so integral in my healing and in my journey last year, and it was called the Women's Circle. And I can't wait for Catherine to talk about the Women's Circle that she created and everything that is part of this Women's Circle. This group of women, there was about 10 to 12 of us on a regular Zoom call. They held me so closely and were so supportive that I needed everybody to know about Catherine, her work, and what she is doing to help other women rediscover their wellness. And that is something that we're going to talk about today, because as you all know, I put it out into the universe not that long ago, two weeks ago, about my gym. And I am committed to getting my wellness back on track. And Catherine is a huge part of that. So welcome, Catherine.
Thanks, Tiff.
So let's get into it. I want to know, because I've never actually asked you this, how did you get into this journey? How did you get into wanting to help other people with their wellness journey and everything that goes into that?
It is a long, winding road, so I will try and describe the shortest version that I can, but it started with me not being well at all, me being very unhealthy mentally and physically, and just feeling so sad that I had the tools and I couldn't be well. I played sports in high school. I had a great family life. My mom was a stay-at-home mom. We ate healthily. In university, I wanted to be a doctor and I did a neuroscience degree. And I was really unhappy during that time, really deeply unhappy. And when I finished, I decided to pursue wellness as opposed to medicine because I wanted to help people feel well instead of treating disease. And part of the reason that I made that switch is that while I was in university, I started taking cardio kickbox classes and I had been lifting weights for years because of my high school sports and thought, wow, this is so fun, but I know that I could do this and I could get paid to do it if I get certified. And so I became certified. And when I graduated, I had the option of working in a neuroscience lab with rats or working as the social and fitness director at a retirement home. And I'm glad I made that choice because it really pushed me into the work that I've been doing, over the last 25 years. And it was a long, winding road of working at this retirement home where my oldest clients were 98 and 102. And I saw what was possible if you took care of yourself throughout a, yeah, just incredible. And then I worked at a number of gyms over the years. And then I got really, really burnt out because I was teaching people about fitness and a little bit about nutrition, and that was it. And there was something missing because my clients weren't following my advice. And worst of all, I wasn't following my own advice. And so I felt like a fraud and a failure. And I completely left fitness and I started writing about food, wine, cocktails, design. And then I started writing about wellness. And it was during that time that I realized that I was becoming well. And it was almost an unconscious process that one day I thought, wow, like I'm actually genuinely happy. I'm not sad all the time. I'm taking care of myself. What's going on here? And I swore that I would never work with people again. I wanted to be a lone writer in my robe in my room alone. But when I discovered what it was that had changed my life, I knew I had to get back into coaching again. And what that was that I had become mindful of how what I was thinking and doing affected me. That was it. I realized that the opposite of that unmindfulness was the problem that every client I had ever worked with and myself was having because none of us want to feel terrible, but so many of us, myself included, do things that don't serve us. Do destructive things that make us feel unhealthy and unhappy. And so I kind of reverse engineered the steps I'd taken to get there. The word wellness coach didn't exist at the time. I thought, I'm not a personal trainer. I'm not a life coach. What am I? And I thought, this is holistic well-being. It's wellness. I'm a wellness coach. And so I started my wellness coaching practice 10 years ago, and
10 years
I've been doing it
ago.
ever since.
Oh my goodness. Okay, so do you want to get into your magic formula and what that all encompasses?
I would love to. So I call it the magic formula. It is a self-coaching model because I thought, okay, everybody knows we should what they should do. It's the doing that people are struggling with, and that's where I really want to help people. And so when I was reverse engineering, I realized there was a system of steps that was cyclical that I had been taking to physically change my brain to hardwire healthy habits and unwire unhealthy habits, which is almost harder to break a bad habit than form a good one. And so the magic formula has five steps. Number one is to discover what's the awareness you have of what you're doing or what you need to know, or maybe the science behind why you should exercise would be motivating to you, or knowing more about what happens to your brain when you sleep. Maybe it would help you prioritize that more. The second step is to diagnose. We are each our own best physicians that, no one knows you like you know yourself. And so to diagnose yourself and identify what issues you're having, what barriers are in your way, what boundaries you need to create and state to clear the path for you to move forward. The next step is to prescribe, to create your own prescription that should be both scheduled, like on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, I strength train, but also flexible. If it's a crazy day, I will be able to check it off my list if I do just 50 squats or, you know, get up and shake my body and or dance around for a 2.5 minute song. The next step is very important, and this is where a lot of us fall short. It's to practice. It's to actually do the stuff. Mm-hmm. And the last step is the most important step, and that's to pause and to reflect on how things made you feel. That is being mindful, and it takes just 30 seconds to begin to change your brain's wiring to wire you, hardwire healthy habits and unwire unhealthy habits. So the next time you work out or you don't work out, just stop and think, how did that make me feel? 30 seconds of, say you did work out, even if it was just for 2 minutes. Oh, I feel so much stronger and more positive, and I feel alert and I feel energized. Or if you made a positive nutrition choice, 30 seconds of considering how it made you feel will change your brain for the better and make it easier to practice healthy habits and make it harder to practice unhealthy habits. And then you keep repeating the circle. Okay, how can I build greater awareness? What would be, you know, how could I up-level my nutrition or up-level my fitness? And you just keep going through the circle. So it's intended to help you always be self-discovering, self-expanding, and self-healing.
So why do you think the last step, pause, is the one that people don't do ever or enough? Or is that what causes people to get off of the magic formula?
I think there's so many things. The first thing I would say is that we're so busy, and maybe we don't feel productive if we're not doing something, that just sitting there and thinking or meditating seems like a waste of time for many of us. I know I used to feel that way, but now I understand that that is definitely not the case. I think another reason why we don't pause is that when we pause, we have to feel all our feelings, and feelings are hard to feel sometimes. And if we aren't at a capacity where we can address and have the courage to sit with hard feelings, it just feels awful. And so we skip that step. Mm-hmm. I think those are probably the two biggest things, but the more we do it, the more we learn that we can sit mm-hmm. with hard feelings, and especially when we don't do it alone. Yes, this is a self-coaching model, but we want to be well in community, and it's so powerful to be able to share that with other people so that we don't feel alone and that they can hold space for us when we say, I'm grieving, or I'm angry, or I'm scared. It's totally normal to feel those feelings. It's important to feel all your feelings.
Mm-hmm. So why do you think self-coaching models are more beneficial for your clients than hand-holding, I guess?
So that they don't need me. So that all they need is themselves. I mean, yes, I need to revisit this stuff all the time myself. And so it's not in isolation. It's like, I'm helping you create that inner cheerleader in your mind. We mm-hmm. all have the saboteur, the voice that says, oh, you suck, or you're an idiot, or you're lazy. But we all have the voice that says, you're incredible. You did a good job. You keep going. You can do this. But it's often very quiet. And this process of self-coaching helps us connect with our inner wisdom that we can always tune into, and our inner cheerleader. It turns up the volume on that voice. And I have noticed this. I used to have such an incredibly negative dialogue. And I noticed this shift in myself when I was like, oh, why am I feeling well? That a little voice in my head would say, that's okay, we can do better next time. And I'll be like, who said that? I really like this new inner voice.
Yeah. Who let you in?
Yeah, I like
it. It's coming at it through what you say is a constructive, curious, and compassionate lens.
Yeah.
That is huge. And so when I first read about your women's circle and that self-coaching piece was in there, I remember telling you on one of my coaching calls, that's what drew me to you.
Yeah.
Because I like the accountability piece, but I also like to know that I can do this on my own. I can pump myself up. I can get through these parts of my life that seem difficult on my own. I don't need to have somebody holding my hand through it. And mm-hmm. so that was so, so important in your program. But the one thing that I loved learning from you in your program was the neuroplasticity stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, I was geeking out on that because it is so interesting. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. I mean, it's what changed my life. It is what completely transformed the way I spoke and thought and behaved. And I didn't understand why until I discovered Rick Hansen and his book, Hardwiring Happiness. And so if you think of, you've heard the saying, neurons that fire together, wire together. If you think of an unconscious habit that you do regularly as kind of like a four-lane super highway where you're just flying down it, you don't need to pay attention, you can listen to music, you can talk, you can eat snacks, it's just like that's an unconscious habit. It's easy to do. When you try and shift your behavior, it's like bushwhacking through a dense forest. It is hard at first. But the more you travel that path, it becomes a little gravel road and a, you know, a two-lane highway and eventually it becomes a four-lane superhighway. And the old way of being becomes an overgrown path that's hard to travel down. And
so
to go back to, which is incredible because I think a lot of the energy that I was expending before was to try and avoid unhealthy habits that I had hardwired and had been doing for so long unconsciously. And so the fact that our brain is plastic, which just means changeable, that's neuroplasticity throughout our life, and that everything we do changes our brain, whether we're conscious of it or not. So there's two kinds of neuroplasticity. Experience dependent is passive. That's forming an unhealthy habit without realizing it. It's doing it over and over again and not being mindful of how it makes you feel. The other kind of neuroplasticity is called self-directed, and it is an active process. And that's step five of the magic formula. It's just pausing to think about how it made you feel. Just 30 seconds will begin to wire your brain to crave and practice those healthy habits and unwire your brain from those unhealthy habits. So experience dependent is passive and self-directed is active. And that is the kind of neuroplasticity we want to practice. It's so powerful. Like we are in control of the architecture of our brain through our thoughts. And it only takes 30 seconds. It's incredible.
Through our thoughts. And does this go on your whole life? Or is there a certain age where it's like, no, doesn't
Never.
Want to do it anymore?
It goes on till your very last breath.
Wow.
We
so
are
there's
never
still hope for me.
Absolutely. We are never too old. Never.
Never too
the
old.
best time to start is now.
Absolutely. Okay. So next thing, five pillars of wellness.
Yes.
And there was lots of discussion in our women's circle about each of these pillars. And I know which ones I definitely needed some motivation on, but I'm going to let you go through them quickly here.
Okay, so the first one is mindset, which is the way you think. And I always start with that one because it's the most important. If you have limiting beliefs or cultural beliefs or something blocking you mentally, you're not going to be able to take better care of yourself and practice healthy habits. So I always start with mindset, and that's just being more mindful and noticing how things make you feel. That's a really key part of change is noticing the inner dialogue in your mind and shifting it to become more positive. The second one is movement. I'm a personal trainer. I'm a fitness instructor. I'm an older adult specialist. Our bodies need to move to function properly. Every body system requires movement to function optimally. Our cognitive system, our lymphatic system, our digestive system, circulatory system, reproductive system, every system in our body requires us to move. And so if you follow me on Instagram, you see my hashtag that I use every single day, which is the anti-sedentary revolution. Because yes, I believe exercise is important. We should strengthen our bodies and have good endurance and have great mobility and flexibility. But even if we're going to the gym or running or doing something for an hour a day, that still leaves 23 hours in the day where many of us are completely sedentary. And if we think of our circulatory system that delivers all of the oxygen and nutrients and removes all of the waste, and especially that our brain, which we all need, is only 2% of our body weight, but 25% usage of our energy consumption, and therefore a very large chunk of the metabolic waste in our body. If we aren't moving, our circulatory system is more like a stinky, stagnant pond. Whereas if we weave physical activity throughout our day, it's like a clean, babbling brook. Mm-hmm. And so we all want to start this anti-sedentary revolution by weaving movement throughout our day. Yes, we want to be strong and have endurance and flexibility, but the more we can break up our day, you know, every 25 to 75 minutes, ideally, if we can get up and move a little bit, mm-hmm. that would be great. And I mean, that just involves maybe drinking a glass of water, which is the added benefit of being hydrated. Then you have to get up and go pee, or even if it's just doing some shoulder circles and bum squeezes in your chair while you have to Zoom, really seeing the value of, if you work from home, being able to vacuum or fold some laundry in the middle of the day, getting out to walk your dog. You can have a different mindset. I know I really shifted my mindset around doing the dishes instead of like, oh, I can't believe I have to do this at the end of the day. Well, I get to move my body and maybe I'll listen to a good podcast.
Yeah.
Next pillar is nutrition. I like to call it nourishment. We want to nourish our bodies in a way that feels indulgent and not deprived. That's what I saw a lot of when I was personal training was, here's the list of what you can't have. Mm-hmm. What do people want when they can't have it? They want
they
that.
They want it.
Yes, they want it. And so I like to think of nutrition and nourishment as, what would nourish me? What would feel so good now, which means what's yummy, but what will make me feel good in the next 1, 2, 3, 4 hours. And then we can tweak our diet in a way that is yummy and delicious and nourishing, so we have good physical and mental health as a result of that. Mm-hmm. And that we are aware of how our nervous system is receiving the food so that we can get ourselves into a receptive state. The next one is sleep. It's huge. Sleep is so foundational to well-being. Not only are we repairing and rejuvenating every cell in our body, especially our brain. Our brain doesn't have a lymphatic system. It has what's called a glymphatic system, and it functions while we sleep. So we must sleep to clear out the metabolic waste that we've created through the day, or else we're much more likely to develop cognitive decline like Alzheimer's or Parkinson's. Sleep is really, really key. And it balances all our hormones.
That is one of the things that I honestly, I'm almost 50 years old and I did not know that that was part of the brain, that that was why it was so important.
Yeah. It's a recent finding. There's a great TED talk about it that I can send you the link to. It's really, really captivating evidence to inspire us to sleep more. Mm-hmm. So much is happening when we sleep. Growth hormone is produced. That's the fountain of youth. Our hunger and satiation hormones are produced, and they get out of whack if we don't sleep. So we're more hungry if we don't sleep well. We make poor nutrition choices. We make poor exercise choices. It's a vicious cycle. But if we're aware, step one, discover, find out a little bit more information that would motivate you, then we can say, okay, I really need to prioritize sleep. I'm going to make some changes tonight. Mm-hmm. And the last pillar is connection, and that's to self, to other humans, which is incredibly important, and to nature. And so it's this holistic approach of tweaking your life in all these areas to elevate your happiness and your joy and your vitality in little increments, like micro habits.
Mm-hmm. And so with that, I thought that I would have Catherine basically do a coaching session with me on this podcast. And so when I was in the women's circle, I also had one-on-one coaching sessions with Catherine, which I found so, so helpful, just to have that outlet to talk about, especially like these five pillars of wellness. And I, at that time, I was having a really, really hard time sleeping. Remember? It was mm-hmm. horrible. And I had a TV in my room, and that was not helping my sleeping patterns mm-hmm. because I would fall asleep with that TV on in the background. And when I was building my house, I remember telling you, I am not putting a TV in my new home. And I didn't do that. Are you proud of me?
I'm so proud of you. I am so proud. Like it's incredible. It's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I knew it was really impacting the quality of my sleep. The next one was putting my phone out of my room. And mm-hmm. that one is a work in process. It's it's not every night, but there are some nights where I know I really need to get a good night's sleep and I'll just leave it out of the room. So I'm getting there.
Mm-hmm. That's all a hard right, one.
So where do you want to start with my coaching session based on what's going on in my life right now, which you know there's let's talk about grief, actually, because I've got a lot of grief going on in my life right now, which impacts a lot of these five pillars. So what would you do with a coaching client who came to you and said, okay, I got like two huge losses in the last couple of years. I'm not as consistent with my wellness as I'd like to be. I feel like the grief overwhelms me so much, or I just get tired and I don't want to really do anything at all except for sit in my grief.
Yes. And this is so universal that we all experience periods of grief. Well, the first thing I would say is to really look to have self-compassion and look at your capacity. You know, what is my capacity right now? I think so many of us, especially women, don't know what it feels like to operate within our capacity. And we push and we push and we push and we're just running on fumes. And it takes energy and sacred space to be able to grieve. It's really important to give yourself the opportunity to fully grieve. And so I would say to make a list of the things you know you need to be well and address them in a flexible framework mm-hmm. so they can contract. So they're so small. Mm-hmm. So you know that you are prioritizing filling yourself up to the best of your ability with what you have at the present moment and giving yourself A, space to grieve, and B, space to recover. So knowing what recovery feels like to you. Is it sleeping longer? Is it a bubble bath? Is it having nice candles? Is it going for an extra long walk? Is it sitting on a bench and listening to birds, like, you know, near your favorite pond? Whatever that is, to really look at those five pillars and recognize the strength that you need to be able to grieve and to nourish yourself in all those areas so that you have the strength to do that. And then to recognize when you don't, to almost compartmentalize if you're so depleted, especially if you're not sleeping, which makes you have poor physical activity choices and food choices. And it's kind of like that's, you know, downward spiral I talked about, to just have compassion and say, what is the least I can do today mm-hmm. to make sure I don't drop below that dangerous line where I've lost hope or mm-hmm. I'm so overwhelmed I can't make choices.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And that is actually what I've been really doing lately, especially in the last 2 months, is just I've had to have people remind me mm-hmm. to have some grace for myself and some compassion for myself. We were supposed to record this episode 2 weeks ago. And actually the day that we were supposed to record was the day that I found out about my friend Debbie passing away. It was mm-hmm. actually a half an hour before we were supposed to record. Yeah. And I was driving home and I'm like, yeah, no, I can still do this. I can still do this. I can still do this. And then I was like, no, I can't. I can't. I have to give myself some, sorry, yeah. I'm going to cry. I have to give myself that grace that I give other people a lot of, you know?
Yeah. And
not beat myself up that I'm not doing it all. And that's what a lot of women have a hard time with, I think, and men, but women for sure is they beat themselves up if they can't do it all
yeah.
and do it so well, right? So,
and nobody can do it all. So it's self-defeating. And I was very proud of you that you canceled, because I know what you're like when you say you'll do something. I know what that means to you. So
yeah, it really bothers me when I can't honor my commitments, mm-hmm. but I know in my message to you. I want to make sure that I can give people the energy that I know that they deserve for their message and for their work. And if I can't give that energy back in return, then I'm going to reschedule with you. And I am very proud of myself for recognizing that and doing that. But it's, I think what I'm having a hard time with is, okay, where is it time to just start going so that you don't get into that depressive state, right? And just keep going deeper and deeper. I think that's where I'm having a difficult time right now.
Yeah, it's like knowing that line. I mentioned I was having a really hard time in my 20s and I really did struggle with depression. And I know for me that all of these practices are my medicine. And I feel it when I'm not doing them. I feel myself slipping. I feel a sense of hopelessness. Overwhelm comes first and then hopelessness comes next. And I know when I begin to feel hopeless, I immediately have to force myself with grace and gentleness to do those little things that I know will reverse the downward spiral and create an upward spiral. And part of it is changing your expectations, you know, like with your meals. Say you've been cooking amazing meals, which takes a lot of time. Okay, this week my capacity is low. I'm gonna pre-order ready-made meals every day of the week. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Give yourself that. Because if you don't do that, well, I know if I don't do that, I'm gonna order pizza every night. So I need to put things in place where my expectations for what I'm capable of can change when I am at a low capacity. Mm-hmm. And that's okay. And so it's
and
all
I ordered Skip the Dishes a couple of times last week because I was like, yeah, I just don't have it in me to.
Yeah.
I just want to lay on the couch and cry and, you know, be sad. And yeah. That is okay.
Yes, it is okay. There's actually a lot of science behind crying, the healing power of crying. It's important to get that, you know, emotions are energy in motion. And if you hold them inside something, you know, they're going to damage your insides, like damage your physical body. They'll manifest as dis-ease. Mm-hmm. And so having a good cry and a extra rest takes a lot of energy to grieve. And then knowing your line,
mm-hmm.
knowing your line of like, okay, I'm slipping into dangerous territory. I am choosing, I have the power. I'm choosing to make some better choices today. And you just start up that upward spiral.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's where last year, the women's circle that you had, you all saw me cry last year in that circle. And I just find having like that step five, the connection, the fifth pillar is so important. I am really good at connecting with myself now. That is one thing that I am very proud of the work that I've done in that area, but it's the connection with others that is also healing and so beneficial to know that you're not alone going through a lot of this stuff and that some of this stuff like movement and how hard it seems to be, it's not just me that's going through this, right? So
yeah.
I'm really, really happy that you put that together and the women that I've met through that circle. It's
Yeah,
been
because
amazing.
It's other people that also want to improve the quality of their life and be true to themselves and experience more joy and vitality. And yeah, and it's always like totally incredible women who get to see, and men. My retreats are co-ed, and it's incredible. It happens every time where I see that moment of recognition, like I'm not alone in this struggle.
Mm-hmm.
No one is alone in their struggles. There's so many universal struggles that we have. And that's part of self-compassion, is recognizing that we are not alone, that it's a universal truth that we will all have pain and suffering. And when we aren't alone in that, it's so much easier to bear.
It is. And I'm going to give one of the examples. I won't name the woman in the circle, but the part about sleep. I remember that discussion that we had in the circle where a lot of the women don't nap or don't feel like they can nap. And then they were a little bit, not disgruntled, but like that their husband or significant other was able to do it and they can't, right? And I remember piping up. I was like, oh, heck no. Do you remember that? I was like, no, I nap and I am totally okay with napping. And I remember one of the women, I don't know, she sat back and she was just like, you know what? It's okay if we nap. It's okay if we do this. And thank you for actually, you know, saying that you do and that you're okay with that. And it gave her permission, I think, to be okay doing it as well. Do you remember that conversation?
I absolutely remember it. And that's exactly what I wanted to say about it too, is that when you honor your own needs, you are modeling that to everyone around you and giving other people permission to do the same when they may not have realized they had that power and that choice. And so, you know, it has a massive ripple effect to care for yourself because you're kinder, more creative, more compassionate. Your impact on the world can expand exponentially, but you're also giving other people the permission to do that. And then they're having that, you know, exponential positive impact on the world. So I really believe that prioritizing your own well-being is one of the most powerful things you can do on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. So I have a couple more things. Your book. Let's talk about this book you're writing. Oh my gosh. I'm so excited for you.
Oh, thank you. You led the way. As I was beginning my book journey, you were finishing yours, and I was so inspired by your dedication that you just got your bum in the chair. So that's been a really big thing for me. Yeah, it's so exciting that this curriculum that I've created, I'm putting in book form. It's called Feel Better Now. And it's really just small tools infused with pleasure to help yourself feel better in an instant. But as you're doing that, you're reprogramming your brain to hardwire those healthy habits for a lifetime and extend the quality and hopefully the quantity of your life. So I'm about halfway through my manuscript. I've got about 10 weeks to go and it will be published next spring. And I can't imagine how that would feel. You know, seeing you hold your book in your hands was so emotional. And yeah, I'm going to be a hot mess in a good way when it comes out.
I can guarantee you will be a hot mess and I can't wait to see your box opening or however they come for you. I can't wait to see that because it truly is something I cannot explain. I can't unless, yeah, it's just all of these words are in a computer. And then in a PDF document and you're looking at them for like, for me, it was a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden it's like in your hands in a book. It's so wild. So I can't wait to see your progress throughout the next 10 weeks and the year. And okay. So then the other thing that you do, you mentioned it briefly, is your retreats. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about those?
Yes, I absolutely love them. When I started coaching, when I kind of reverse engineered how I got happy and created my curriculum, I had private clients for a couple of years. And then I had the opportunity to speak to a large group. And I thought, man, I love the power of a group. Not only does it get me fired up to be, you know, to be able to impact this many people, but it's in hearing everyone share their version of their experience that people are learning on such a deeper level. And so I realized I wanted to do retreats. Retreats were just kind of up and coming. They weren't as big as they are now. That was about 10 years ago. And I've been doing, you know, 1 to 5 retreats every year since. And now for the past 5 or 6 years, I've been doing one every January at the Oak Bay Beach Hotel in Victoria, which is the most beautiful property, incredible staff. It was rated the number 1 hotel in Canada by Condé Nast magazine. Like, it is luxury.
It looks so gorgeous.
It's incredible. And I've started doing a few more retreats here and there. I have one just for alumni this summer.
Yes.
And after yoga.
Who's going?
Whoop, whoop.
Catherine and I are going to meet in person for the very first time after a year and a bit of being connected. And I can't wait. And that one is just for alumni, right? So far. And it is going to be in BC, and I cannot wait. So let's talk about where people can find you so that they can learn more about everything that you do and maybe go to one of your retreats.
Mm-hmm. Everything to find me is at my website, which I don't think I even mentioned my business name. It's called The Life Delicious. And so my website is thelifedelicious.ca. And it's really about life just being delicious and pleasurable and wonderful and nourishing yourself, mind, body, and spirit. I have a wellness newsletter, and yeah, you can find all my information on social there.
Okay. And what is your social handle?
Catherine Roscoe Barr.
Catherine Roscoe Barr.
It's long.
And on Instagram, anyway, if you see her stories, you will always be motivated to get up and move, because she is always showing us how she does it with herself, with her beautiful daughter, and her husband. And you always inspire me. Always, always inspire me. So I just want to thank you for that. So I end every interview with asking my guest what they are grateful for that day. So what are you grateful for today?
Oh my goodness. I have a daily gratitude practice, and I could just go on and on and on and on and on. I am so grateful to you for this conversation, for the work I do, that I get to meet people like you, and that I am reminded to keep doing the work, to be the happiest version of myself.
Yes, I am grateful for you. I know I've told you that a million times, but I need to tell you on this podcast so everyone can hear, you were such a huge part of my year last year. And I'm just grateful for the support you gave me during that time. It was a really hard time. So thank you for that. And I'm just grateful for the sunshine and the warmer weather that we're getting, because it, in Alberta anyway, it makes it way easier to get outside and be active outside when it's nice out, for me anyway. So yeah, that's what I'm grateful for today. So thank you so much for being here, Catherine. Everybody check out Catherine at the links that I'll have in the show notes. Thank you again, Catherine, for being here today. Please make sure you check out the show notes for this episode to check out more of Catherine's work. Honestly, following along just on her Instagram stories will motivate you every single day to take care of your wellness. She is truly inspiring. Do you have a story to tell? Of course you do. And I would love if you would come on my podcast and share it with me and all my listeners. If you're interested, just shoot me an email at hello@tiffcarson.com or fill out the application on my website at tiffcarson.com. Have you read my book, Dancing in the Rain, yet? It's available now on Amazon, and I would love, if you have read it, that you go to Amazon where you purchased it and leave a 5-star review. So many of you have sent me some beautiful messages, and I would love if you would put these thoughts on Amazon as well. That way, more people will hear about it and share it with others as well. Once again, I am so grateful that you were here today listening. Until next week, friends, please be kind and stay well. Bye-bye.